You know, if I was smart, I would pre-record all of those sound clips that play for the intro, so it's just one button press as opposed to having to play it live on the soundboard. But this is Pure Decking for show 481 for Thursday, June the 2nd, 1865. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and wondering if, in the long run, therapy would be cheaper than alcohol. I'm Morps. I have drank a lot of whiskey, and I'm going to drink a lot more tonight. Probably need to take a break from it, truth be told. What's up, Madman?
And to answer your question, it depends. Have you grown attached to your penis?
Yes, it is in fact attached.
Then don't see a therapist.
I've missed something, and it's probably a good thing.
They're all insane, dude.
Is that what they're recommending now, is the removal of the penis?
Uh-huh. Hey, do you like scented candles?
I mean, what scent?
Well, you know, just...
Any of them.
Any of them.
I mean, it's not my go-to, but I don't feel the need to smash them on sight.
Is a woman.
Oh, yeah, you're a woman. They're definitely going to suggest you cut off your penis. Uh-huh. The problem of your stress is you're not living your true self.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're not speaking the truth to power.
So I should be out in the woods with a ham radio and a shotgun building things.
If you haven't noticed, Morps, the world's a little fuckery right now. Especially in the professions that need to be trusted, that no longer can be trusted.
So alcoholism, it is. Got it.
It's much safer.
Yeah, I'm developing a good drug habit to go along with it.
And RU is here. We haven't introduced RU yet. What's up, RU?
I am here. Yes, I am. And the donut sugar high is starting to crash, man. I'm starting to crash, dude.
It's freaking out, man.
I don't eat much sugar. I had a little bit too much sugar this morning. No wonder kids are so fucking hyper.
They're that way without the sugar, dude.
I don't eat enough sugar. Like, I fucking got a little bit of a shake going at the moment.
Well, obviously, you need to add more breakfast cereals to your diet.
Yeah, it gave me the quick energy I needed.
Yeah, it'll do that.
That's the only reason I had it, man. I had to walk quite a long way. I'm like, I need a boost.
Sugar. It's highly addictive.
And how? Yeah, you cut sugar out of your diet, man, and then you have a little bit of it? Holy shit. It really rocks your world.
Well, the problem isn't so much sugar, because sugar's in a lot of things. It's processed and refined sugar.
Well, yeah, like straight up. Like, it was coated in sugar.
Oh, you did say it was a cinnamon sugar donut. Yeah, those are...
Yeah, it was a fresh one.
Yeah, it's a lot more sugar than cinnamon in that coating.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. It's just like chewing glass. It's so crunchy and nice and doughy, warm deliciousness. But, yeah, I just don't have a lot of sugar, and I'm like, fuck, get a little shaky now.
Note to self.
Coming down.
Note to self, find donuts. Okay. It's supposed to be stopping the self-destructive habits, not to... fuck. Yeah, bread does have... Yeah, Rats in the RC says that bread has an amazing amount of sugar in it. And he's not wrong. It absolutely does.
Yeah.
It's all sugar. It's what your body breaks it down into.
Well, ultimately...
It just takes a while, so you don't get that jittery thing.
He's saying we have more sugar just put in our bread straight up than most other countries.
Yeah, I've got a local bakery that does sugar-free, well, as little amount of sugar as possible.
Well, yeah, you need a little bit in there.
Yeah, it's I like it's bread, but it doesn't last more than a day or two before it's just, you know, rock hard and you can't eat it because there's no preservatives or anything in it.
Oh,
that's when you turn it into stuffing.
I forget what there's
or meatballs.
There's an actual additive. It's not just sugar, but there's an actual additive they put in bread to keep it from going stale longer. And I'm forgetting
silicon dioxide.
Yeah, that's it. So
also known as glass. If you get the French bread at Wally World, it does not contain more than 1% glass. I meant silicon dioxide.
So
it's also a decaking agent.
I guess we
get the iodine.
Yeah, I guess we can start with the opening story here. It's not that. Well, let me read the story, then I'll make my point. It's from Bleeping Computer. Vodafone is piloting a new advertising ID system called Trust PID, which will work as a persistent user tracker at the mobile internet service provider level. The new system is in test phase in Germany and is intended to be impossible to bypass from within the browser settings or through cookie blocking or IP address masking. The mobile carrier plans to assign a fixed ID to each customer and associate all user activity with it. The ID will be based on a number of parameters, so the system will be able to maintain persistence. Then, the mobile ISP creates a personal profile based on the ID that helps advertisers serve targeted ads to each customer without disclosing any identification information. According to Vodafone, the problem that arises for its internet subscribers is that the free parts of the internet are threatened by stricter cookie blocking and privacy boosting schemes. Apple already blocks default tracking everywhere, which destroyed Facebook's business model. Well, it hurt it. It didn't destroy it. And Google is also expected to switch off its advertising cookie in Chrome by 2023. These new models threaten the targeted advertising industry, according to Vodafone. The danger of this is losing content and platforms currently supported by ads. Quote, consumers appreciate the idea of a free internet, but this comes with a trade-off. Publishers need a sustainable revenue model, meaning that it becomes essential to add subscription paywalls or rely on advertising to maintain free access to high-quality content, unquote, reads the explanation on the Trust PID website, managed by Vodafone Sales and Services Limited. The industry is looking for alternative tracking ways, and mobile ISPs are in a position to provide a solution that users are likely to find difficult to circumvent. Let's see. Rats in the IRC is asking if the VPN will bypass. I don't know. It depends on how they're doing it. If they are tagging it based on your cell phone information, your IMEI and all that, and connection to the tower, it might be very difficult to bypass. Now, I imagine that they'll, if you VPN, they'll still be tagging it, but they'll just be tagging the VPN tunnel. So it'll look like all of your traffic is going to that tunnel. It also depends on how that VPN tunnel works, like whether it's doing your DNS or not. So that depends on the individual VPN. But yeah, honest answer, don't know, because I'm not exactly sure how they're doing it. Let's see, Vodafone explains that Trust PID will be generated through randomness and its subscribers will have the option to manage their consent over accepting the tracking via the company's privacy portal. For complete details on how the collected information will be used and where to receive it, check the privacy policy. No matter the claims made there, however, having the ISP the power, editors, come on guys, to assign persistent tracking IDs is concerning, and not everyone is willing to accept superficial assuredness. Remember Verizon did this a while back too, and you had to go in your phone, in your Verizon app, and turn all the tracking off. And then you had to do it again because they turned it back on for everybody and then said, oh, if you want it off, you really have to go in and click it off again. You know, because we're just going to make sure that, you know, they're just going to flip it on every once in a while just to make, you know, so if you really care, you'll go flip it off again. But Rat says this just makes him want to find Chrome Pro. Yeah. I mean, or just take our user approach and just don't have a phone. Yeah, Patrick Bear, member of the European Parliament and digital risk activist, has told Bleeping Computer, quote, the online activities of an individual allow for a deep insight into their past and future behavior and make it possible to manipulate them. These personality profiles, which even cover political opinions, sexual orientation, or medical conditions, are a risk to privacy but also to national security, where officials can be blackmailed, and also to democracy, where elections and referendums can be manipulated. I want to know what's in this guy's browser history, because he's a member of the European Parliament, and that's like one of his first examples is where you could blackmail politicians with this information. It's like, what is in your browser history, dude? I mean...
His porn history alone can get him kicked out of Parliament.
I mean, if it's not illegal porn, what are you going to worry about? How can you be blackmailed?
Yeah, well, you know, if he's got a wife, she might not be happy about it.
I don't get you kids with your phones and your pornography these days. Old man shouts at clouds. I just don't understand it, man.
There's no such thing as the cloud. It's just somebody else's computer. But, yeah, despite objections, Vodafone is proceeding with a limited trial of the system. And according to Spiegel, Deutsche Telekom, it is also planning to test the super cookie. For now, neither has disclosed what number of users are taking part in the pilot phase of Trust PID. I'm getting because those users don't know. But BILD.de, one of the largest sites in Germany, has disclosed that it is taking part of the program. So we've known ISPs can do this for a while. And, you know, whereas these guys are just openly saying they're going to start doing it, which to me is not a message to their consumers. It's a message to marketing companies. It's like, hey, we're doing this. Come, you know, come give us money. That's what this article is. That's what that announcement from Vodafone is. It's, hey, we're opening up a new market. We're looking for we're looking for buyers of customer data. So that's why the article exists. That's why they made the announcement. I am positive that that's why that's there. That said, I mean, what do you do about this? We know that ISPs are going to do it. And it's going to get to the point where if they're not, their leadership is seen as leaving money on the table. That's the sick part, is it's not just, oh, well, we've got another revenue stream. It's going to be, well, these other companies are doing it. And if we don't, we're leaving money on the table. I mean, VPNs help and things like that, but, you know, how well does that work when it's tagging the device itself, you know? I mean, if they've pushed an update to the phone to insert something into the on-device browser, I mean, even if you're going through a VPN, it may not matter. Like I said, it depends on how they're doing it. I don't know how they're doing it. So I imagine if they're tagging it at the network level, a VPN would help. But, I mean, this kind of raises, you know, you have to start. This does raise the question, if everyone has their data mixed up in this crap, you know, at what point do you just say, okay, well, like you said, why are you looking at porn on the phone? Don't do it. Why are you looking at it? You know, if you're on a managed device like a phone, because don't kid yourself, it's managed. Maybe you shouldn't be doing anything on there that you think could potentially get you in trouble. Maybe, it's one of these things where it's like, well, the surveillance is just, I mean, ubiquitous at this point when you're using these devices. Is that just a part of accepting that if you're going to use a mobile phone?
I walked through downtown today and, you know, I couldn't help but notice all the cameras everywhere. Why give them extra information? Yeah, they grabbed my face. They probably pinged my ID, everything like that. But why give me a phone data as well?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure they'd be pinging that as well.
Do we know if NSA or similar agencies by consumer profile data? Yes. The answer is yes, Rats. We did that story a couple of weeks ago because we didn't do a show last week because I was not in a good state to do a show, so we didn't do one. It's been a rough couple of weeks, actually. But, we do know because CDC, is that who it was that we talked about? Actually buying consumer data because they were tracking COVID to see if people were actually, you know, abiding by lockdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Was it CDC?
It was CDC.
Yeah.
But just look at their budget. They're doing it. They don't get that much money for nothing, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of these things of, do you just decide, okay, well, if you're going to use a modern smartphone that, yeah, anything you do on it's going to be tracked and put to an advertising ID. And
I mean,
if
I'd start like this, go one day without your phone a week.
That's probably a good idea anyways, just for sanity.
That as well, man. Just start learning to live without. It's a lot easier. I don't know, like, yeah, I'm trying to think of good reasons not to have phones.
Well, I've done some reading into how these systems work, and I know we've talked about it on the show before, but what these companies do is they're not saying, hey, look, I've got this profile on RU486. He goes to 4chan/poll. He goes to Steam. He goes to a messaging board. I mean, you know, it's like, we have this profile.
Trust me, my history isn't that exciting.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. We've got this
poll, live leak, back and forth all day.
We've got this profile on Mad Men. He goes to YouTube and DoorDash and a Christian website? The horror. I mean, no, that's not what they do. What they do is you get assigned a tag. It would probably look like an MD5 hash or... Well, okay, if you don't know what an MD5 hash is, it would look like a long string of characters, like somebody was rolling a potato over the keyboard. That ID then gets tagged with, oh, this person is likely a liberal or a conservative, or this person is into basketball or football, or this person's a gamer. You know, they play Counter-Strike, or they play, you know, Tower Swap, or they play whatever, you know, whatever the app is, because I don't know what most of the apps are anymore. They all just have icons of somebody screaming. And so they put all these tags on it. And so they go to the advertisers and say, hey, we have 5,000 users of a liberal persuasion who are into football, who... and you know, well, it's Vodafone, so that would be soccer. So yeah, football for everybody else, soccer for Americans, who are really partial to a certain kind of tea. I don't know. And so they go to the advertisers and sell them on these demographics, right? And so it's like, we'll show your ad. We can target your ad to the 5,000 people who have shown an interest in your business market, right? That's what they're doing. So what happens to that data? It amalgamates. It lives in a database. At somewhere at the ISP is a separate database of who that ID is versus a customer, right? So they'll have that random ID that looks like somebody rolled a potato over the keyboard, and then they'll have another table somewhere else in their database, or maybe it's a separate database. I don't know. It depends on how they built their system. That same string, oh, that's actually Madman. Or that same string, oh, that's Morps, right? So, yep. You know, on one hand, yeah, they're eventually, based on your browsing habits and what you're interested in, probably going to build, based on their algorithms, how good they are, a fairly decent picture of your interests and likes and things that you routinely look at. And then they will use that to sell to advertisers so that the next time an ad pops up, you're more likely to click on it because it's something you're more likely to be interested in based on how much data they've gathered. This is what Facebook does. This is what Google does. This is what every ISP that's gathering your user data does.
This is what confidence men do.
Rats says Christian websites might start counting as domestic terror activities. You know, you never know what damn weird ass correlation they're going to come up with. Reason a couple of weeks ago put out a pretty interesting video talking about gun control studies. I don't want to get political. I just want to point out because the guy they were interviewing makes a really good point about, based on random chance, you should be seeing certain results when you start aggregating all these studies. And if you're not seeing that result, that means these studies are probably not good. And I imagine a lot of that handle, that kind of aggregate outcome of statistics when it comes to these kind of data sets, it's probably similar to what they were talking about with the studies, where you're going to see certain outcomes just based on random chance if they have no impact, right? So it's one of these things where it's like you're going to have ultimately data sets that are good and data sets that are not so good. The problem with having all that floating around is, one, advertisers have a better shot at manipulating you. I mean, advertisers are basically doing psyops at this point, trying to get you to spend money, so that's not surprising they would go there, you know. But the possibility also comes in, like you were joking about Christian websites being the domestic terror activity. Well, what if you get some nut job in power? Like, a lot of people thought Trump was nuts, you know. What if you get somebody who gets into power like that, who actually says, okay, let's confiscate all these data sets, and anyone who we flagged as a certain point of view, pick whichever one you would feel most targeted by for the point of the exercise, you know, whoever's members of that point of view, round them up and put them in prison. We'll use these data sets as justification to do it. I mean, it's an extreme example, but could happen. Actually, there were tons of stories last week, and actually there have been for several weeks, but I haven't talked about them, where people were saying, oh, Facebook and Google have to eliminate any location tracking data that shows people were going to abortion clinics because of all the Roe v. Wade stuff. And it's like, you know, they were demanding that they not track people, you know, going to an abortion clinic location for privacy reasons, which I certainly understand the argument for privacy reasons. And, you know, getting an abortion probably should be a fairly private activity, I would assume. I mean,
TikTok, not taking your phone with you.
Yeah, TikTok and Twitter notwithstanding, because apparently people go in there and brag about it, which I don't understand. But
I don't get it either. But
you know, that's you know what we were saying: old man yells at cloud, right? But anyways. Point being, yeah, you know, if you are going to be doing something that's an extremely private activity, not taking your phone is probably a smart idea. Or just know that, yeah, they're going to track this stuff, they're going to build it, and be aware of it. Now, I think that's probably, it's not the tracking so much that bothers me, it's the fact that they hide so much of it and that people are just unaware. That's what bothers me more than anything, is just the sheer lack of awareness of what's going on. That was a cue for somebody else to jump in so I could take a breath.
Dude, that's the sound of no one disagreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how do you think you should propagate awareness? Because just saying we're tracking you, I don't think people quite understand what all that entails.
Man, I've stopped telling people. One, you look like a fucking raving madman if they've never even encountered this idea before, that they're being tracked and you know, marketed to, because the average normie doesn't grasp that concept of big data. They have no concept of what 5G is about to do to their life. Like, I talk about the Internet of Things to a normal person, and they look at me like I'm a fucking idiot. I'm like, no, your fridge will be connected to the internet. It will be a fucking shopping fridge. You know? Your toaster will get daily updates. With news and weather.
Unless you leave it unplugged, at which point when you plug it back in, you're going to have, you know, it's going to be like when you first buy a new game on a console where you have to wait on the download to play it.
Or part of the idea of, part of the end user agreement will be that you connect it to the internet, otherwise you can't have the item.
Well,
or the item won't work.
Think how many websites today already, if you're running ad block, won't let you look at them. You know, and I'm already starting to notice some apps that say, please allow location tracking in this device for it to work, in this phone, to, you know, this app for it to work properly. And it's like a game or something that has no need of location tracking. And when you block it comes up and says, you need to enable location tracking to use this app. I've uninstalled apps because of that shit, because it's like there's no reason for it to do location tracking, yet it's demanding it. It's like, no, fuck you. I'm not doing it. Never mind. It's a slot. It was a fucking slots game. It's like, why the hell does a slots game need my location and my address book? And when I denied it, the game wouldn't run.
Yep.
And it's just, and actually, when we get into Dojo, I've got something for that, but not for preventing it, but just showing the behavior. But it's just depending on people clicking, yeah, okay, whatever, and not reading. And that's really what, I mean, my users at work, they, you know, you send out a nicely worded email, you know, hey, if you don't do these things, it ain't going to work. What happens? We get tons of phone calls. It doesn't work. Did you do this? No, that sounds hard. Did you read the email? No, I deleted it. You know, anybody who's done IT tech support, it's like, hey, I got an error message. What'd the error message say? I don't know. I closed it. Okay. How am I supposed to help you then? Well, just magic it up. I mean, it's, you know, they expect you to just wave your dick at it and have the machine work. I don't know. This is Morps' venting hour as opposed to a new show now.
I'm one of the few people that just copy and paste that into a Word document and say it said this. Fix it.
Or, you know, run Snagit or, you know, the snipping tool or something. You get a screenshot of it. That'd be good, too. But somebody should be, yeah, Rats is suggesting somebody should, you know, be summarizing EULAs and other things like that. There are some websites, I think we linked a few in Dojo that did that.
Yeah, that was years ago, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still exist, but I may look around after the show.
I have to go dig through the show notes and find them again. God, that's a lot of show notes. We've done, we're 480 shows, man. I mean, that's, we've been doing this for a bit.
Just a wee bit.
You think we'd be better at it by now?
Well, we would be if we cared, and we just don't care.
Let's. I think we beat the shit out of that one. You guys ready to move on?
I'm good.
All right, next one up is from Business Insider. Subscription services could be subtly eating away at your savings. At least that's what a new study from research firm CNR Research has found. Currently, shoppers can set up subscriptions to meet all sorts of needs, from watching programming on Netflix, Apple TV, Hulu, and Prime, to getting an influx of new styles with Birchbox or Rent to Runway, to listening to music on Spotify. But all those options could be costing consumers more than they think. The research firm studied 1,000 consumers from April 22nd to May 2nd, 2022. Survey organizers gave participants 10 seconds to come up with a response to a question about how much money they spend every month on subscription services. They found that on average, consumers underestimated their monthly spend on subscriptions by $133.
Holy fuck.
Why do you think piracy site, you know, this is what's happening. Somebody's done the math and said, well, I could subscribe to these five streaming services, or I could go to, I can't think of a streaming site at the moment, and that's probably a good thing. one of the 1, 2, 3 series or whatever the fuck. I think that one's been closed down. Whatever. You know what I mean. Like, you know, the piracy sites.
Yeah.
Initial estimates averaged out to $86, while participants' average actual monthly spend was more than 2.5 times higher at $219. 30% of responders were off by $100 to $199 on their estimates. Mobile phone subscriptions were the, quote, most forgotten type, unquote, with 31% struggling to remember the category, followed closely by internet subscriptions, television, movie streaming services, and Amazon Prime. The study found that 74% of respondents say, quote, it's easy to forget about recurring monthly subscription service charges, unquote, and that 72% of the survey participants have set all of their monthly subscriptions to autopay. I intentionally leave autopay off on as many things as I can because I want to know when the money leaves my account. And all this confusion on subscriptions is taking a toll. According to CNR findings, 22% of respondents told the research firm that they felt overwhelmed dealing with their multiple subscription services. In April, streaming giant Netflix revealed that it lost subscribers for the first time in more than a decade. Back in 2021, a study found that Showtime's subscription service was at risk for losing audience members. Excuse me. There's so many options and subscription bills piling up. Some of those woes could continue for subscription services as consumers reassess their options. Oh, man.
I don't know how people can just lose track of their shit.
Oh, rats. Rad says he can't cancel Planet Fitness. You have to go to a location site, go to the locations you signed up at, and close the account with the manager, and they aren't doing those meetings because of COVID.
Oh, those dirty fuckers.
No, Rats.
Oh, that's fraud there.
Yeah,
do a chargeback or whatever.
Yeah,
the
you go to your bank, they say they are not allowing me to cancel a recurring subscription. I have tried. Take the email where they say that you have to go and just file that away so you have evidence that you attempted to cancel and they made it impossible. Especially if they come back and say, sorry, you can't cancel now because of COVID. And just go to the bank and say, it's fraud. They won't let me. It's unsavory billing practices. Companies like that do that shit deserve to deal with that problem. They deserve to be, have all their credit fucked by having a bunch of people go in and say it's fraud. They signed up. Yeah, no, go to your bank. Go to your bank and say they are not allowed. I had to do that Navient. I tried for months to get them to stop billing me. And I finally said, I'm going to my bank and I'm going to tell them it's fraudulent because I have told you multiple times to cancel the subscription. And they finally canceled it. And, but I still went to my bank and told them it was fraud, and that if they saw that charge again, I had to fill out paperwork and sign it that if they charged again, that it was fraudulent, because I have attempted to cancel it multiple times. Your bank told you sorry, you letting them do it? No. Tell them they are not allowed. You can go to the bank and argue with them. If they are not letting you, cancel the subscription, just say fine. I'm going to my bank and I'm doing a chargeback, and I'm going to flag it as fraud.
Yep.
Worst case, they may make you change your debit card number and your checking account number. Just be aware of that. I didn't have to do that with Navient, but it was pretty close.
Just so I don't go to jail, I am not a licensed financial advisor. All advice I've ever given is to be taken tongue-in-cheek.
I'm not giving financial advice. I am simply relaying an experience I had.
Oh, you're allowed to give all the financial advice you want, Morphs, but it's a jailable offense for an Australian to
talk about
finances
that.
On the internet. Yeah. So, yeah, and anything I've ever said has been in jest. I'm not a financial advisor.
Okay, well, guys, maybe it's time we put out the secret and drop the charade. Aryu's doing a fake accent. He actually, lives in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been a pretend Australian for years.
I've been sitting here like, wait, we're talking about finance. Fuck, they just passed that law. I better say something.
No, I totally want to try to put out, misinformation on the show. Well, I can't say it that way. I totally want to put doubt as to whether you're actually an Australian or not, because then it's harder for them to prosecute you.
I'm actually Ukrainian.
Yeah, if you go after him, you're supporting Russia and are evil.
Thank you, madman.
I identify as.
I'm pretending to be.
Oh, and this next one is from datacenterdynamics.com. A federal judge has ruled that IBM must pay BMC Software Incorporated $1.6 billion for fraudulently poaching an AT&T mainframe software account. That's a Dr. Evil thing. It's like $1 billion. The payment, the culmination of a 5-year lawsuit, is one of the largest awarded from a commercial dispute. IBM said it would appeal the decision. Well, of course it would. It's $1.6 billion.
$1 billion.
BMC and AT&T signed a master purchase agreement in 2007 to provide mainframe software services. At the same time, AT&T's mainframe outsourcer was IBM, putting IBM in the position of being the IT outsourcer and a provider of competing software. Back in 2008, IBM and BMC entered into a contract laying out how they would work together for mutual clients. In 2015, the two companies added an amendment to the contract that disallowed IBM from moving shared customers over to its own software. The exact same year, however, AT&T began Project Snowtail, an internal initiative to migrate from BMC software to IBM software. You fools. Quote, the close access that IBM personnel had to AT&T's mainframe environment and experience with how BMC products operate in that environment gave IBM exclusive insights into how the software products AT&T used, including BMC products, worked under the operational demands of AT&T's computing environment, unquote, U.S. District Court Judge Gary Miller said. Miller added that, quote, IBM's conduct constitutes internal wrongdoing and that the company entered into the 2015 contract with no intention of following it. IBM's scheme to defeat BMC's contractual rights cheated BMC, a software company wholly dependent on the licensing of its intellectual property, out of hundreds of millions of dollars it was entitled to receive under the contract in exchange for the rights IBM exercised. Based on all the foregoing facts, the court finds that IBM's conduct in this case is both fraudulent and malicious, Miller said. I see he's dealt with IBM salespeople. Miller awarded BMC $717 million for lost licensing fees and $168 million for interest on those lost fees, and another $717 million was added in punitive damages. Quote, the evidence of IBM's deliberate plan to defraud BMC out of hundreds of millions of dollars to enrich itself justifies an award of exemplary damages that would be meaningful for a company of IBM's size and based on IBM's behavior, Miller wrote. In a statement, IBM said it planned to appeal the decision. Quote, the decision to remove BMC software technology from its mainframes rested solely with AT&T, as was recognized by the court and confirmed in testimony from AT&T representatives admitted at trial. So what this is it's a contract dispute, because they're saying that IBM entered into a contract with BMC to get access to BMC stuff, then went into AT&T, a massive customer for IBM, and said, oh, yeah, here's how you convert all the BMC stuff over to AT&T stuff, or IBM stuff. And to be honest, I've never actually looked into BMC software. I don't know that I know what it is. What do they run? Let's see. Products. ITSM, business workflows, virtual agent. Okay, it's all Big Iron stuff. So, yeah, okay. Just looking, I don't have much experience with that. But I do have experience with IBM's shit. And let me tell you, I don't doubt for a second.
Oh, man. Salespeople are honest, hardworking, you know, prompt when there's a problem.
Oh, man. I got so pissed at one of them one time because we were dealing with setting up a QRadar instance. And they had not spec'd it properly. They had not. And they didn't even bother with an engineer on it, because then the implementation engineer said, where's your designing engineer documents? I said, what design engineer? You're the first engineer I've talked to. I go, oh, well, we'll design it ourselves because it's easier than getting a design engineer on the phone. Yeah, and they did it wrong. We never got that QRadar instance to work correctly. But one of their sales guys kept saying, oh, I always make sure to inform customers that you have to do this, this, and this, and this. And then I had to stop him, and there were a lot of bigwigs on that call. And I said, if that's the case, how come nobody on this side knew it? And there was just dead silence for a second because he didn't have an answer. Yeah, no, fuck IBM. Yep. Fuck IBM. What did I call it? Morps' rant hour? Fuck IBM. Okay. We do.
They're not going to be one of our sponsors.
Unless they pay us to stop saying fuck IBM. We do love nostalgia for the IBM PS2, though. That's not the same company. Okay, if you're talking about the old school ThinkPads, the old school PS2 keyboards, the old school desktops, no, that is not the same company. The company that made the Business Center, the original PC. No, that company's gone. They sold sold what was left of that company to Lenovo 10 years ago. No, they don't do hardware. They are a big iron software company these days. They have nothing but contractors writing their code and scummy salespeople. Fuck IBM.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and Watson doesn't fucking work. Control V, not just V. For anybody wondering, in people in TeamSpeak, instead of getting the story link for the next story, got a V. And again, fuck IBM.
When Watson goes rogue and takes over the power grid, I'll hold you account to walk that back.
Hey, we normally support the robot uprisings. If the robots are based off Watson, we're going to have an issue. Yeah. Actually, no, we won't, because it won't fucking work. We'll be sitting over there twitching, going, I don't understand. I don't understand. Yeah, sure, it worked on Jeopardy because it was staged.
Oh, that was so fake. That was so fake.
I'm just going to sit here and yell fuck IBM until the hour's up, unless you guys want to do the next story.
Next story.
It's from Ars Technica. A critical code execution 0-day in the supported versions of Windows has been under active exploit for 7 weeks, giving attackers a reliable means for installing malware without triggering Windows Defender and a roster of other endpoint protection products. The Microsoft Support Diagnostic Tool vulnerability was reported to Microsoft on April the 12th as a 0-day that was already being exploited in the wild, researchers from Shadow Chaser Group said on Twitter. A response dated April 21st, however, informed the researchers that the Microsoft Security Response Center team didn't consider the reported behavior to be a security vulnerability because supposedly the MSTD diagnostic tool requires a password before it would execute payloads. About that. On Monday, Microsoft reversed course, identifying the behavior with the vulnerability tracker CVE-2022-30190, and a warning for the first time that the reported behavior constituted a critical vulnerability after all. Quote, a remote code execution vulnerability exists with MSDT, is called using the URL protocol from a calling application such as Word, unquote. The advisory stated, quote, an attacker who successfully exploits this vulnerability can run arbitrary code with the privileges of the calling application. The attacker can then install programs, view, run, change, or delete data, and create new accounts in the context allowed by the user's rights, unquote. At the time of this story's publication, Microsoft has yet to issue a patch. Instead, it was advising customers to disable the MSDT URL protocol, and then they've got instructions here to go into RegEdit and turn the thing off. According to analysis by Research Trevor Beaumont, the document uses Word. Okay, so they've got a... I missed a sentence. Although initially missed by Microsoft, the vulnerability was again spotted when a researcher identified a Word document uploaded to VirusTotal on Friday that exploited the previously unknown attack vector. According to analysis by researcher Kevin Beaumont, the document uses Word to retrieve an HTML file from a remote web server. The document then uses the MS Protocol URI scheme to load and execute PowerShell commands. That should not be possible, Beaumont wrote. Unfortunately, it is. When the commands in the document are decoded, they translate to system32. Okay, yeah, runcommand.com, you know, call MSDT, and then pull in their payload and run it. According to security researcher John Hammond of the security firm Huntress, the script starts hidden windows to kill msdt.exe if it's running, loop through the files in a raw file, looking for the base64 encoded string of a cab, decode it to the cab, and run it. Beaumont also called attention to this paper in August 2020, which showed it to use MSDT to execute the code. This suggests that there was at least one other time the company's security team failed to grasp the potential for this behavior to be maliciously exploited, same thing.
Either way.
Doesn't Word macros use embedded IE11? Yes. Yes, it does, Rats. It uses the embedded Internet Explorer engine. Although, with the swap to Edge, I think the latest versions are actually using that the Edge web engine. But Microsoft has added all their hooks into it, so it doesn't really matter. Normally, Word is set up to load content downloaded from the internet in what's known as a protected view, but that mode disables macros and other harmful functions. For reasons that aren't clear, Beaumont said if the document is loaded as a rich text format file, it runs even without opening the document via the preview tab in Explorer, let alone a protected view. In other words, Huntress researchers wrote, the RTF file can trigger the invocation of the exploit with just the preview pane in Windows Explorer. So in doing this, this extends the severity of the threat to just a single-click exploit, but a zero-click trigger. Yeah, you just have to look at the thing in Explorer, right? So, besides the document being uploaded via Total on Friday, researchers uncovered a separate Word file uploaded on April the 12th that exploits the same vulnerability. Given the severity of the unpatched vulnerability, organizations that rely on Microsoft Office, so that's, you know, all of them,
everyone,
should thoroughly investigate how it affects their networks. I'll tell you, how does it investigate your network? Well, you know what I was saying about IBM a minute ago? That's what it does to your network. disabling the MSDT URL protocol isn't likely to create major disruptions in the short run and possibly in the long run. While investigating, at least until Microsoft releases more details and guidance, Office users should turn the protocol off entirely and give any downloaded documents over the internet additional scrutiny. Thanks, Microsoft.
Another wonderful zero-day exploit brought to you by Microsoft. If it's coded well, it's not our code.
They could at least come out and say, we're looking into patching it. We're sorry.
I don't think they know what to patch.
Them to catch everything.
Leon, under modern thinking, if there's a chance that any computer could get a virus, we should do away with all computers, right? Because we can't take the chance.
I would agree with you, except for the fact that I wouldn't have a job.
Oh, God, I'd have to drive thousands of miles a day to do my job.
Boy, you could live in the same town, Madman.
No, but my job takes me to several towns.
Rats asks, what user is going to understand how to turn the setting off? Because it is going into RegEdit and doing it. I don't expect the users to do it. What's going to happen is IT staff is going to do it and push it out via SCCM. It's RegEdit settings. They can't do it via group policy. Okay, yeah, they'll have to write a script that does it and then push that out via whatever tool. I think you can push a script with SCCM. You have to forgive me. It's been a few years since I've actually looked at an SCCM console. More than text-align. You know, sometimes I'd be happy if the user was asking a text-align question. Normally it's along the lines of, I got this email, and then I did what it said in the email. And
my computer don't work.
Yeah. Or, you know, we got this pop-up that said call this number, and we did. And then, you know, these people with an Indian accent got on the phone. And they're in the computer now. Is that what we should be doing? What? God, no. Kick them out. It's like, well, the guy on the other phone says, I shouldn't do that. He says, you're lying to me. No. You called the company. I can give you my company ID. No, listen to me, not them. Yeah, I actually had an argument with the user where they were listening to the scammer telling them that I was trying to defraud them. It's like, I work for the same company. I'm trying to help you. I mean, I literally had some help desk people stand up and look over what was going on because I was like, no. I got a little loud on the phone. Oh, rats. He's saying his roommate got Indian tech support while he was there. That's just mean letting that happen. That's sort of like watching somebody install this toe trigger on the shotgun going, hey, I wonder if this works. I mean, they got his bank. Why did you let him do it?
Rats obviously likes to watch people get hate fucked.
He said roommate. He didn't say friend.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Proceed.
You're used to only rooming with people that are your friends because you're paranoid and don't want people to hurt you. Apparently, Horatz has no problem rooming with random strangers and fucking with them. Kudos, my friend.
Well played.
I don't know whether to think better or worse of you, but either way, I like what you did. I'm assuming he's a cockbag. Please tell me you're only fucking over cockbags.
The ignorant need to be punished, though.
He said he didn't find out till breakfast the next day. He was unaware in the next room.
Oh, I hope you didn't fix it for him.
At that point, it's
late. Way you fix it at that point is you call the bank and say, I need you to shut down my account and deny all charges to it. I accidentally talk to Indians. And I mean dot on the forehead, not feather in the hat. I'm not racist.
Well.
Not much, anyway.
I'm not really a fan of NASCAR or other kinds of racing. I mean, I know Aryu's into it, but...
Oh, I'm a massive racist. I like all forms of car racing.
Okay, last story. This is from KDN Live. And this is an old scam, but I like pointing it out because it's fun to talk about. Scam! Lightmoon is not KDN Live. Lightmoon is malware. We have been notified of a site that is using KDN Live's name and likeness to distribute malware to users. We will not be linking to a site to avoid accidental downloads, but if a search lands you on a site offering Lightmoon, a free video editor, and it looks like screenshots that are identical to KDN Live, it's malware. let's see. Oh, Rat says to finish out his story, he got the lawyer, went to the bank, and got it all. Yeah. How much money did he lose? I imagine they got a couple $1,000s before they shut it down. Oh, they were too broke to lose my...
Ah! Well played.
Well played.
I love when I get the scam call. Here, this is your bank security. You've currently had, $2,000 paying on. Good luck to them if they get $2,000 out of that account.
Well, they still lost $120. That still sucks. I mean, you know... It's a couple of nice
like
meals.
Phones. I don't like banks either. Take your money out of the bank. Don't leave it in the bank.
Indian scammers can't steal your money if you keep it under the mattress.
Buy a fireproof fucking safe. Put it in your cupboard. Put your money in there. If 08 didn't teach us anything, where Greece and Spain just went, and no more money. Sorry. So, and people went without, couldn't get their own cash out of the bank. And then when they could, it was only $20 a day. Fuck that.
So what you're saying, is you shouldn't know how much money you have in a denomination. You should know how many pounds of money you have.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I have pounds of money.
Well, if you convert to gold.
You should always be... No, I don't buy gold. Fuck that. Can't eat gold. We've argued this before. Fuck that. Be liquid, man. Make sure you got your cash with you.
We are also receiving notice that the creators of Lightmoon malware are sending out phishing emails encouraging users to download their infected software. So what's happened here is somebody's grabbed KDN Live. They've cloned the website. They've changed the name to Lightmoon. It's probably KDN Live and just has the malware installer slipped into it. So they've grabbed a fairly popular open source video editor. And they're adding malware to it. This happens all the flipping time. Back in the day, it's like, oh, get your files from Two Cows. It's like, you know what? I'd rather not. I'd rather get it from the provider because you don't know who's done what to these files. But that's a very common thing where people grab. Rats has a good point. We can't keep large amounts of cash around because the cops will, arrest your cash for probably being drug money and, do the whole asset.
Oh, forfeiture. Civil forfeiture. 1994 sucked. That's when that law came into existence.
How are they going to know that you've got large amounts of cash? shut your fucking mouth. You don't take your phone with you. You'd be private. What do you mean? Don't announce, man.
In a lot of these cases, they
you
want to
hide in plain sight.
They like search you. They, you know, start patting you
down.
Don't
have the safe in your fucking car. Put it in your fucking house.
Dude, always say no when they ask if they can come in.
If you've got that much money, don't move it all at once. Take it out a couple of thousand at a time.
Dude, if you look into civil asset forfeiture, it's scary. They find somebody who's traveling with cash on because they're going to go buy a car or something. If the cops can't find it,
they can't fucking seize it.
Well, that's true.
Maybe have the thing hidden.
Okay, every time you see the joke, you could put your weed in there, just substitute cash. So.
I don't think Haratz realizes how far I go to hide in plain sight.
Yeah. Oh, he's talking about, so he says, dude had $40,000 to buy a pickup truck. They asked to search. He says, no. They ask him to put up.
That's grounds for a search warrant.
Yeah, and that's grounds for search warrant. They said they asked him to put a cigarette, so he did. I guess he dropped it on the ground, stomped it, and they said, "Oh, that's a felony." So then they searched his car and seized his money.
It's the oldest trick in the book. When they ask you to put your smoke out, stamp the fucking thing out. Don't drop it on the ground. Just put it, pinch it under your shoe, and then put the butt in your fucking car. But they've tried that on me several times. Then again, maybe I've just been around the block a few more times. A bit more experience.
I would say that's probably the case. All right, let's do this. Sorry, brain blank there for a minute. So for tonight in decking, I only have one link for you. It's a really mean one, though. So this is a project called Force Admin. Force Admin is a C# payload builder, creating an infinite UAC pop-up until the user allows the program to be ran.
Oh.
It just keeps asking.
Oh.
But you got to remember how UAC works. It blocks out your desktop and says, this program is asking for permission. Do you say yes or no?
Yep.
And so they found a loophole in the UAC, in the Windows API that lets this program just sit there and continually ask.
Will Control Alt Delete Kill Program still work?
Yes, because you can Alt Tab around the UAC prompt, but you know by default it blocks out your whole screen. But I have had it pop up in the background because I'd started an installer and then was clicking on something else and had to Alt Tab to get it up to, you know, get it to let you get past the UAC prompt. But so I imagine there are ways out of it where you could kill the process without giving it permission, but most users aren't going to know that. So there, how many people are eventually just going to click OK to make the damn thing go away?
Too many. Yeah. The answer to that is too many.
I mean, this is kind of the, I mean, you know, there's brute force passwords. So this is brute force privilege escalation. just keep asking until the user relents, right?
This program Karen, it's just so fucking annoying until you give it what it wants.
You know, you want to see people throw their computers out the window? This is how you get people to throw their computers out. Or turn UAC off, which is worse in this case. But, yeah, that's all it does is it's you know, the default payload, once you're done, you give it a string of PowerShell commands to run. It'll call PowerShell, command.com, you know, exe, whatever, and then it'll run it. But, yeah, let's see. What? Rats just said, you see this one. Vietnam vet, friends gifted him a couple of pot plants in small earthenware plots to manage glaucoma. The neighbors see it through the window and call the cops, and the cops took his house for civil asset forfeiture for like a pot plant.
Fuck. Yeah.
Civil That's why you always put cardboard. Always put cardboard on your windows, get some good grow lights. You're going to commit crimes, fucking think about it. Really think about it.
Well, that's the problem. He probably didn't think he was committing a crime. He's just like, oh, somebody gave me a flower. But yeah, they took his house.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Proceeds of crime. You have to prove that you didn't buy that house with pot money. You have to have an alibi for your money when it comes to civil asset forfeiture. And you don't have to be found guilty of a crime. They didn't even need to charge him with possession of weed. That's what's really fucked up about it.
Jesus.
And he didn't have the money to fight it.
You got that. You got politicians that are allowed to do insider trading. Yeah, you need to start again. I mean, keep the documents, but it's time to start jailing people.
Rats is saying, no, you don't defend it. Your house needs an alibi for itself. The asset has to defend itself in court and thus loses by default.
Oh, no, you can actually file and fight this. The Freedom Foundation has done a couple cases, but it is a pain in the ass. And to win, you have to be independently wealthy or have something like the Freedom Foundation willing to go to bat for you. And so far, they've yet to get the law overturned. All they've been able to do is get individual cases dismissed because prosecutors stop short of the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah, they don't want the law to go away.
Yeah, so all anyone has been able to really do as far as fighting this is to get individual cases dismissed.
Jesus.
Rough, man.
It's fucked up. I mean, and I thought IBM was
the only way
bad.
To do away with it is to actually get Congress to repeal it. Rand Paul has attempted. He has yet to succeed.
Well, yeah, they're making too much money.
They can't get it brought up to a vote. And every time it comes up, every police commissioner and sheriff's department comes in and says, this is how we're funding our fight against this, that, or the other thing.
I'm going to say that's how we're funding.
And we don't really abuse it. It's mostly just going after drug cartels and gangbangers. Very, very small percentage of innocent people get caught up with this, and then we see what we're doing and we stop.
It's the government stealing money from its citizens without. I mean, how has this survived a? My brain's not working. Shouldn't
they've never seized anybody? They've never seized anything off anybody of significant note.
I was going to say
that's how this survives.
Shouldn't this fall under due process? I mean, wouldn't that fail a due process challenge if they don't even let you? If
it can make it to the Supreme Court, yes, you can challenge it and get it overturned. But that's why they don't let it go that far.
Yeah,
a trial court doesn't decide the constitutionality of a statute. It just decides whether or not you've violated that statute. The appeals court doesn't look at the constitutionality of a statute. It just looks to see, was the procedure for this trial done correctly, or is there new evidence to counteract it? The only court that looks at constitutionality is the Supreme Court. That's one reason the Supreme Court has never been the arbiter of constitutionality. The legislature is supposed to look at it and also say, is this constitutional? The executive is also supposed to look at this before they sign it and say, is this constitutional? And if the answer is no, they're not supposed to sign the shit. But we have, you know, presidents like Bush that say, I'll sign it and we'll see if it's constitutional later.
That's not
That's a quote from him.
All right, we're at our hour. We're about 5 minutes over. That sucks. It's not right. But
We not have a story about taxing people that go off the grid.
No, it doesn't really fall in that tech thing.
Ah.
That's more of a bullshit municipality issue.
I mean, man,
if it becomes bigger.
If you want to do a political show, we can talk about spinning up a different show. I mean, it's fine. You can do that.
I just remembered someone mentioning it. I didn't know if it was a decking story or what, because I actually had some thoughts on that one.
Nah. I don't know, maybe we could do something next time on it, but I didn't read the article right through. I just skimmed it and then...
Oh, it was you. It wasn't Morps. Okay.
Yeah, I've got... Because it first happened here, and I was bitching about it, because I'm going to take my solar panel off the grid so I don't get charged tax.
Oh, the solar panel things we were talking about. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that was
yeah
the
it looks
show,
like
man.
He's coming to California,
decking.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're wanting to charge people for running solar panels because they're not consuming off the grid and paying utility bills as much. It's like, you know, we scream at you to use less, and when you use less, oh, my God, we have to raise rates because people are using less.
Yeah, it's a never-ending cycle of getting fucked. That's all it is, man. You're born, you get fucked. Until you die.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, fuck.
But shut up, Wesley.